They'll teach you history, but they'll teach you what they want you to think is American history.
For us as a people to take that off, they put it on us, they put this yoke on us, and none of it has ever been true.
Because it was made a thing, things were done, and now wounds have to be healed.
Women cut their hair really short, but I'm sure they would have done something beautiful with that.
You're sure that they would have?
I'm sure.
This is Shay, a good guy, and I am being black on Earth.
Iconography and the commodifying of us. It's the same way that they do women. You know, women are a market. Women, the feminine is a market in and of itself. And they use the feminine body to sell products, and they sell the feminine body. They do the same thing to the black. They use the black body to work it, to do actual work and services, and they use it as a marketing tool. You don't really see that with anything else. You don't see that with men in general, and you don't see that with any other race. So that's what they've done. So when you go out and you see Burberry with a jacket full of nooses, Montclair with Sambo patterns, blackface patterns, Gucci make a blackface. In Amsterdam, they have Zwart Piet. In Belgium, they have the chocolate hands that is reminiscent of the severed hands in the Congo when, you know, under King Leopold, when they wouldn't make their quota in the rubber plant. They would chop off the hands of the babies. So you just Google it. Google chocolate hands Belgium, and you'll see. And after you Google that, then Google King Leopold's ghost and look up the images of it. And you're gonna be like, what the fuck? Yeah, you're gonna be like, oh, so they constantly commodify us. That's just a known thing. You could boycott them all you want. They're not batting an eye at you. Ain't no person in the hood buying a $9,000 Gucci sweater, even if you had the money to buy a $9,000 Gucci sweater. Unless you're Floyd Mayweather, I guess. But Floyd Mayweather, man, he's a different breed. Don't hate on Floyd, bro. Floyd put in the work from since he was a little kid to be the best. Because he wanted the best that life had to offer, what America had to offer. And he went after that. He wasn't making it about anything else for him. And I think he deserves it. I think that's what we work for. I think that's what we really want here in this country. It's like, leave us alone. Don't force us to have to identify ourselves as any particular race, because you're the ones that, you know, obviously this whole race thing is a European construct, right? It's you guys did this as a means of managing your products, people, managing your resources. So you went red man, yellow man, white man, black man. We didn't do that. We were a nation of people with our own stories to tell, blah 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 blah. And then you bring us over here talking about the land of the free and the home of the brave, and you know, all men are created equal, and it's like, well, okay. You wiped your ass with that shit, you know. So Floyd Mayweather is like, I have found a way through that, through boxing and entertainment. And he milked it. He's like, I don't have to deal with that identity politics. I can just be Floyd Mayweather and spend my money. My only question for Floyd. So I got Michael Jai White on my audience now. So Floyd Mayweather, I'm talking to you. Let me ask you a question, Floyd Mayweather. I saw you on TMZ. And I saw you were like, while he's over here on the boycott, your boy over here on the yacht. And then you went into Gucci, you stunned it on everybody. You went into Gucci and dropped $100,000 in a couple of hours. Golly, man, I'm drooling at the mouth now. I am not a money hungry person. But let me tell you something, $20 is a lot of money to me. $100 is a lot of money to me. I can't imagine spending $100,000 and not even breaking a sweat with your whole entourage. So he goes in there and spends $100,000 on Gucci, in the Gucci store. And he don't want to hear, he don't really care about the whole Gucci. I don't even think he mentioned it. He don't even think he said blackface in that interview. So, I wonder though, Floyd, what would you do? Scenario. I play a game with my daughter that I go, scenario. And I present to her a particular scenario which presents a conundrum. What would you do? Sort of like that Dateline special with that Hawaiian dude. I think he's Hawaiian. So what would you do? Scenario, Floyd. You go to a board meeting at Showtime, right? And you're sitting there before the board, and you're stunting on them, you're dripping, you got your Gucci on head to toe, And you're like, yeah, guys, you know, I love you white people. You make me money. You know, I'm rocking with y'all. I'm not black. I'm Money Mayweather. And they're like, yeah, damn right, Floyd, you Money Mayweather. You've made us a lot of money. You helped us blow up our spot. Showtime was on the brink of falling off, man. We had to do that soft porn, you know, just to keep shit going. But you came in there with the boxing, even though boxing ain't even shit no more. And you really just made it happen. So we got a gift for you. We know how much you like Gucci. We got you a sweater. $9,000 fresh off the line, brand new. Ain't nobody even seen this shit yet, Floyd. And you're going to be like, what? What? You mean you tell me it's first off the line? Ain't nobody got this shit? I'm going to be the first one rocking this shit? And I'm like, goddamn right, Floyd. And they present it to you. They present it to you in a nice, like, leather box, right? And that thing looks legit. Tied up in a bow. Maybe the bow is not even a bow. Maybe it's like a bow made out of rope. Tied up nicely. And you're like, why is there rope on this box? I'm like, don't worry about that, Floyd. And you're like, all right. And you pull it off. Lift off the top, and you're like, oh, how come there's layers of shoe polish on the top of this gift? Don't worry about it, Floyd. Just open it, Floyd. And you open it, and in there is that sweater, this blackface sweater. You're like, yeah, buddy. And do you put that on right then? Like, yo, this is the flyest shit I've ever seen. Or are you offended? What do you do? Or let's say, for example, you go and you're doing an exhibition fight. Because I know you're doing exhibitions now. I saw you mention that too. 10 mil per fight. Golly, I can't imagine. You. 2 hours worth of work. Is a fight even 2 hours? Yeah, I guess I imagine an exhibition fight is about 2 hours. And you just, bam, 10 million like that? I just can't imagine it. I can't even imagine it. But let's say, as you're doing that, some fan jumps out of the audience and they're like, Floyd, you're my idol. I got you this. My mother knitted this sweater. She used to work for Gucci for 50 years and she just recently retired. And she said her last thing that she was going to do was make Floyd Mayweather a sweater. And she presents you with that sweater. And you're like, okay, but why is it a bow and a rope? And she's like, don't worry about that, Floyd. You open up the box. And it's that sweater in there. That same blackface sweater with the big red lips. Do you say, thank you, you're my greatest fan, number one fan, and put that shit on? Or are you offended? And I think that's the difference, you know? It's like, you know, you don't have to boycott Gucci, but come on, yo. They really took it there, you know? And they're just ignorant to our pain. They're so ignorant to the pain that things like that cause. Obviously, Floyd Mayweather is not connected to that pain. Maybe even someone like Steve Harvey is not connected to that pain. But that's the iconography. And they don't, and then, you know, I know it's like they send an apology, you know, and they're sorry. And that's it. You know, they got the brand recognition. People are boycotting them. You know, it's that day and age now. It's like, you hashtag it. That's it. Your hashtag goes, boycott Gucci. All Gucci cares about is that they're trending. All Montclair cares about is they're trending. And obviously, it is a thing because then Burberry turns around and does it like, oopsie. My mistake. Cha-ching. That's what they're doing. And it's a fetish. Because then, obviously, you know, blacks are not the target market. Then Africa is not the main market for fucking Burberry. You know what I mean? And certainly not Detroit is not the main market for goddamn Montclair. I never even heard of Montclair. I thought Burberry made rugs. That's how much I don't know shit. So then I'm not the market. They're selling that to each other. Obviously, because it was all good with each and every one of them. Think about all the channels that sweater had to go through before it was made. There was a person that came up with the bright idea. Can you imagine that person? He probably saw Ralph Northam in blackface and went, holy shit, I know a way to dress up like my favorite character and stay warm at the same time. And he came up with the blackface sweater. And he brought that to his supervisor. And he was like, hey, draw that shit up right now. Mock it up right now. We're gonna get a crack panel together and test it. Test the market for it. And then can you imagine the meeting when they all sit around and decide what is the markup? It's like, yes, we used only the best satin and velvet. And the lips are actually made out of the real lips of old black people. You're like, yeah, this is real skin? Yeah, this is real skin. You're like, oh man, so what's the markup on this? $9,000. Jesus, like, wow, that's a steal, $9,000. I guess. I'm wondering how much the rest of that shit costs. I was so shocked by that price. I was just numbed. I was literally numb. Like, my body fell asleep. I had pins and needles. I was like, 9,000. I'm like, what world am I living in? Because I'm upset when I go to Target and the same jeans that used to be like $20, $30, the t-shirts cost that much now. And I'm like, what the fuck's happening to me? But then there's people out there who can afford a $9,000 sweater. If I had $9,000, I'd be buying a car, a used car from the auction. And I would think I was the man for that shit. I would be jumping up and down, skipping up and down, like a Lucky Charms commercial, if I had $9,000 to buy a car with. But somebody out there has $9,000 in their wallet, and they walk into a Gucci store and they buy a fucking sweater. That's crazy. $9,000 for a sweater. It just doesn't even make sense. But then it makes sense to somebody. And there's people who live at that level where that shit's normal. You know, $800 jeans is normal. $800 to me is the rent. $800 is not even the rent. $800 is half my fucking rent right now. Man, if $800 and I can sit here and build myself a brand new computer, I'm not buying jeans. I will not buy jeans with that. I will go to JCPenney and buy myself a pair of $40 jeans and be broke for the rest of the week. I will not be able to get Starbucks for 2 weeks in a row after that. Shit. I cannot believe there's people that are living at that level. You know what I mean? But then they had to put that through a panel. There's at least 20 people who that idea and that actual product passed through their hands. Up to the photographer and the model that put it on and did the whole photo shoot, you know, for the marketing. And everyone, no one batted an eye. And there had to be at least one black person in the room. At least one. Out of all those 20 people, there was one black person in there that didn't say anything. Didn't leak it. You could have leaked it to us, man. You know what we need? You know what? We need our own version of COINTELPRO. Call it Bro IntelPro. Because we need black people that are willing to infiltrate. Like Dapper Dan is in Gucci. Yo, I got Michael Jai White in my audience. I got Floyd Mayweather in my audience. Dapper Dan, I'm talking to you. I want to employ you as the very first member the Being Black on Earth Investigative Bureau. So the BBOEIB. You're the first agent. Don't tell anybody, but you're spying on them for us. And we need to know, when they're going to put shit like that out, Dapper Dan, you're supposed to tell us beforehand, and you're supposed to leak that shit to us beforehand. You hear me? And we could get ahead of this thing. You know what I mean? We need to start getting ahead of this. You know, when they come out with the fucking noose pull strings, you know what I mean? And the Sambo patterns. We need somebody on the inside leaking this shit to us ahead of time. Because then we could put our own brand. You know what I mean? We could put out the Peckerwood brand. You know what I mean? The Honky. You know what I'm saying? I saw they put out that one sweater with the little thin line pink lips. Yeah, we could do that. Pink toe. Ain't nothing wrong with that. We gotta have a comeback for them. And it could be our own market. It's, oh my God. I just had the greatest idea for a clothing line. We could do a clothing line, Pink Toe clothing line. And it'll be like jeans with like an ironing board in the back of it, like a flat board. So you can, instead of having like, you know, you have the Levanto Culo jeans, you know, like if you go into like the little warehouse neighborhoods in Spanish, they have these jeans that, this was called Levanto Culo, it lifts your ass, right? Because everybody, this is the whole trend right now, is booty gains. Everybody wants the black booty. And I see these white women, yo, all over Instagram, yo, coming up with these weird-ass fucking exercises. And I'm sitting there going, who does that for it? What happened to regular sit-ups and push-ups? These motherfuckers are swinging themselves off of poles. They are standing upside down. They're lifting weights with their hip bones to get ass. And then when they do get ass, it's not that bubble butt, you know. It's not that black woman's butt. It's just muscle butt with these little wings that poke out to the side at like 90 degree angles. That shit don't look right. It doesn't. And you know, I know that you're going through all of this to get these booty gains, but it looks painful. Your butt, it doesn't look like a butt you can grab, you know, and squeeze and squish. It looks like something that you use to crack walnuts with or something. But that's the new trend, the booty gains. So instead of that, you know, can you imagine black women picking up the trend? It goes, okay, because we've done it, right? We've done it with the straight hair, but I think that was kind of a forced thing, and then it turned into a beauty thing. with the whole straight hair. But can you imagine black women doing everything in their power to have a flat ass? That would be very strange. They've done it, but we've done it. Because we do it with the bleaching, we lighten our skin. I haven't seen anybody trying to thin out their lips, but I know they thin out their nose with the makeup. So we do it. We both do it. I mean, you can't knock them because white people, they tan. They got the Botox. It's a very strange crossover that's happening. It's like, I want to be you. I want to be you. And then we look, just get together and make babies, man. Stop. As much as I love Umar Johnson, just start having mixed race babies, yo. I mean, that's the answer if you want it that bad. Just, you know how, like, you have to sacrifice yourself so that your kid can have it. So don't go to the gym trying to get a booty because you can't pass that. There's one thing that white women can't do. You could probably get yourself something similar to a black woman's butt, either through lifting weights with your thighs, with your hip bones, or in the butt injections. But the one thing you can't do is you cannot pass that butt on to your child. A black woman can. That's the difference. So just forget all that. You know what I mean? And just get you a black man. And just make that sacrifice. Don't bother with that. You know, it's like, I can't have it, but my daughter can have it. That's how you got to treat that. You know? I think that's how some black women do hair, unfortunately. And we frown upon it as a people, black people. We don't like it, you know, when you're like, oh, I'm going to get with so-and-so because he'll have good hair. And he'll have light skin, you know, like, you know, like, so, yeah. But we're an icon, man. So when they make fun of us, we're there to sell products. So we've always been a product. And in some ways, we give into it. Come on now. You know what hip-hop has turned into. The same thing that they did to black people in general, these Africans that were traded away and stolen away from Africa and brought here. The same way that they morphed us into just this money-making thing, the service-rendering, entertaining thing, they've done the exact same to rap. They took the soul out of the rap, and they kind of left some of that spirit that's there. That's the money-maker, though. You know, that's why rap is what it is right now, for the most part. It's all about making money. So it's just easier to get on. You could be a Kendrick Lamar, and you could be a J. Cole, and stuff like that, but if you really want to get on quick, you're going to be a Lil Pump. You're going to be a Tekashi 6ix9ine. That's the easy way. That's the jump off. That's the most marketable. And it's a caricature, man. You see these kids now? They're going all out. That's some strange. That's really strange. But, I don't know. Let me not knock them, because we were strange when I was a kid, too. And I've always been like that outsider kid, so the whole thing has always been strange to me. When I saw kids getting gold teeth, you know, and I would see gangsters wearing polka dots. When I was a kid, the era I grew up in, the gangsters wore polka dot shirts and dyed their hair blonde. That, come on now, that ain't gangster, yo. That's weird. You know, the little streak. You know, you're getting streaks. Come on now. That's not gangster. Yeah, I'm not scared of you. Just to look at you, you know, like, the way that you look in your little flowy polka dot shirt right now. with your gold streak going through your hair. That's not scary, you know. And then the earring, right? So you got the earring in your ear, got the one gold tooth, got the rayon shirt. That was gangster, man. And then back in the day, it was a Jerry Curl. Even before that, it was a Jerry Curl. Jerry Curl gangster, come on now. But they would kick the shit out of you. They were gangster, yo. No, don't even get it twisted. And so now you look at them, skinny jeans, some weird looking skinny jeans too, and it's the way that they walk, now they waddle. Even the walk, at least back then, you had the gangster walk. But now, they got that little duck waddle, that little, like you walking in water. And somehow, that's cool now. I don't get it. Even my son, I have a son, he don't talk to me, unfortunately. I do miss them, though. I have 3 kids that don't talk to me. I'm being candid. And it's not all my fault, so I don't sit here and feel sorry for me or nothing like that. I didn't, or be mad at me, like I did some shit. I ain't do nothing. You know, it's just one of them things. And I do. I miss them terribly, and I missed, like, watching them grow up and do all. I raised them to a certain point, but I missed a certain part of their upbringing. So now I just happened to see my son the other day, and I hadn't seen him. I hadn't actually seen him. I'll just tell you the date. I hadn't seen him yet. 3 years. I hadn't seen him. 3 or 4 years. And so now he's got the whole, what is it, the young thug look. You know, he's got his underwear out, pants hanging down right under his nutsack, with a nice belt. So I guess the belt is there to, like, support your nuts now. So it used to be the belt will hold your pants up to your waist, but now it's there for your nuts to rest on. So he had a nice belt for his nuts to rest on. He had on like a skinny jacket that didn't go all the way down. Some really like Marty McFly looking kicks. That's a brand new thing to me. But the whole look, when you take it all in, it looked cool. You know, he had like some bling on him, you know, like cool glasses and stuff like that. Had his do-rag on his head. I used to do that. I did the do-rag thing. But he's all like that now. And that's the style. It looks cool, but it don't look good. It looked like what we, back in the day, would have considered like a pretty boy look. It's not the gangster look. It's more like a pretty boy look. That's what we would have considered it. So, yeah, man, that's what we're seeing, yo, is that the commodification of us hasn't gone away. Just like the commodification of women hasn't gone away. So you're going to see more of that. It's not going to, until we make a change, we ourselves make a change. And not just make a change, but really be willing to die on that boundary. That you will not make fun of us. You know, like you, not just boycott Gucci, like you don't even know Gucci because you have your own. Because in the music, because people say like, oh, why don't we just start our own thing? But we've been doing our own thing. It just seems to come in waves and fall off because we had Carl Kanai. We had, MCM is not us, but Carl Kanai, we had FUBU, WooWare, what's the other one? Rockefeller. And it just seemed like all these brands just fell off. We were constantly making our own stuff. You know what I mean? But I noticed it comes in waves. We would make our own movies for some time and then it would just come in waves and the waves are disconnected from each other. They're not connected. It's not this era that morphs into another era. It's just like this era, fall off, come back, fall off, come back. It's like the stutter stop renaissance that black people keep having in this country. I don't know how it is in others, but certainly here. Because we did have our own stuff and we just need to keep that up no matter what. How do we do that? The only way we do that is with groups, is with think tanks. And you know, like how you have the, what do you call that group, man? The bourgeoisie, I forget what you call them, but we need like fraternities and sororities and things like that amongst black people. And I know that they have them, but a lot of people write them up. We need more of them, more accessible ones, just for that purpose, to keep some of those things going and to uphold a certain standard, you know, almost like how you have gangs, just like how you have Bloods and Crips, and that has been sustainable throughout the years, folk and all that. You know, once they dropped the Black Panther Party, it was gone. SNCC, gone. All of those, you know, those groups, I guess you still got the NAACP, but that's more like a political thing. So what Killer Mike is doing by giving them a brand, you know, with the Crip Cola and the, what was it, the Blood Pop? I don't remember what it was. I didn't see the episode. I just saw a clip of it. That's a great idea. Rap Snacks, I think Wise Intelligent and some of the, Master P doing the Rap Snacks. You need that, and not just that, but like a coalition around that, so that if anything happens, it keeps going. So the Renaissance doesn't die, and then it will stop the because what we really need to do is stop the commodification of our culture and of our bodies and of our imagery. So, talk about reparations. We need to figure out how we own that image of the Black Sambo. You know how, like, I don't know if anyone saw this documentary called Who Killed the Electric Car? Well, an aspect of them killing the electric car was there was this old white guy. He invented the battery that was the engine, so to speak, that ran this car. And it was like some special battery that could allow the car to, you know, go long distances at a certain speed and torque for a certain amount of time. So an oil company or like, subsidiary of an oil company bought that patent from him and then shelved it. So that nobody could ever get it and use it until they were ready. So talk about reparations. We should, and I'm sure this is not difficult to do. All of that iconography, all of those depictions of stereotypical blacks, the pickaninny, the Black Sambo, the mammy, you know, all the blackface. We should own that as a people. They should give it to us. That's our reparation. You didn't give us 40 acres and a mule, or you gave it to some of us and you took it back. Give us that imagery. And then we shelve that shit. You could never use it again. And if you do, you owe us, you know. So anytime, you know, so now, Burberry, Gucci, and who's the other one? Montclair, I'm sure there's money out of H&M. Anytime they do some shit like that, well, I guess H&M was a little different. They owe us money right off rip. You owe us. You use that. That's $1 million payout, whatever it is, I don't know. And then that doesn't have to go to any particular individual. It goes into the group account. And you would use that, invest it, scholarships, not just college scholarships, but maybe investing in HBCUs, giving some of them that money. Maybe it goes right there. Like, any extra money like that goes immediately to the HBCU. Bam, done. So, you know, that's how that should be done. Because we have to own that. There's certain things that just cannot be done anymore because of, and then there has to be an education around. Oh, so here's something really interesting. Speaking of the commodification and owning our trademarks, listen to this here. So there was a kid, so two white boys, I think it was two white boys, thought they were pretty clever. And they went to school with a little joke. It was supposed to be a joke.
One of the best schools in the country is right here in Maryland, but now Winston Churchill High School in Montgomery County is dealing with a racist incident. Students were caught handing out passes that were printed out. They look like this, supposedly giving them permission to use the N-word. Kevin Lewis from our sister station WJLA spoke with one of the teens involved with this and the mothers of two involved students. They say they believe the school is overreacting to what they claim was supposed to be a joke.
It's a joke that went maybe a tiny bit too far at the most, but the school blew it out of proportion.
Gavin Norman is a sophomore at Winston Churchill High School in Potomac. On Friday, two of his close friends printed around 15 copies of this meme from the internet and handed them out to students during lunch. The meme, modeled after a Willy Wonka golden ticket, says N-word pass. The idea being pass holders could use the racist term without repercussions.
It should have been like maybe one day suspension at the most, just like protocol for schools, but it ended up being a lot more than that.
Administrators have disciplined at least three students. In an email to parents, Churchill's principal said she was, quote, deeply disappointed and appalled by what she called a racist, hateful act.
See, it's so funny how the perpetrators of a crime also want to determine what the punishment should be for that crime. That's interesting to me. And the other thing, too, is, you know what? You want to hand out nigger passes. So if you get a nigger pass, you get this Willy Wonka golden ticket, and it allows you to call me nigger, right? With impunity. Then I should also get a pass to act like a nigger and beat the shit out of you. I'm just saying. Like, you call me nigger, then I should be able to act like what you think of as a nigger, right? I think that's fair. That's fair. So you have your nigger pass, and then I get my reparations pass. They should start handing out reparations tickets. But that's what I'm saying. And then notice even the parents got involved, like, oh, this is overreacting. You know, they should have just been suspended for a day because they called some, they were handing out nigger passes. It was supposed to be a joke. Yeah, it might be funny to you. You know, no comedian goes and tests their jokes out and the audience isn't laughing. And they're like, yeah, this is the shit. I know I'm funny now. No, they weren't laughing. It's not funny. It's not funny. When it's just funny to you, it's not a joke. You're just an asshole. But because there is no education around that, because you don't get history, you don't get any education on the disaster, the ma'afa, the great disaster that happened to black people. They just say, oh, slavery. But no, man, calling it slavery is just like calling us black. There's so much that went on in there. It wasn't just enslaving us. It was all the components of enslaving us. It was the type of slavery. And since those things are never discussed or taught, they think it's okay and they think it's fine to make sweaters and nooses and passes. It's all fun and games. Until a nigga flips out. Until a nigga shows up. Then it's not fun and games anymore. Then when a nigga shows up, then they want this. This is what happens when a nigga shows up. Here, watch. Watch this.